Hello today, welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen, and if you're new here, we're currently discussing the second greatest year in music history, which is 1995, based on facts.
Right.
Season one was the actual greatest year in music history, which is 97. We all know that. Also
correct.
Based on facts. Anyway, one episode, one album at a time. So today's episode is all about Jewel's album, Pieces of You.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. So where did you first hear it?
Well, I was sitting in the bathroom floor in a subway terminal.
Oh, okay.
And a young girl was playing acoustic guitar.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Wow.
Also sitting on the floor.
Did
no.
Did she have a good voice? Or
yeah. Well. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the video, the first video, mm-hmm. MTV, I'm sure was the first time I'd heard it.
Yeah.
And it was very 90s, very kind of folk pop, not really rock, but...
Yeah.
It was probably different. I mean, that was probably some of my first exposure to anything like this.
Right.
As a young one. What about you?
I think probably the same, maybe the radio, but that was the video that you were talking about was for Who Will Save Your Soul?
Right.
Yeah. I was trying to remember. It wasn't like some monumental...
No.
Well,
I don't remember hearing her on the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
I wasn't
true.
Into those stations.
Oh, the folk Alaskan women guitar singer
right.
songwriters, that station?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sirius didn't, Sirius didn't exist, but nor did the coffee house, coffee talk, whatever it is, station
yeah.
they have. Yeah.
True. Yeah, so anyway, likewise, probably. I think it was probably that video.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Yeah, well, I loved it.
Okay.
Because, yes, it's folky. Yes, it's acoustic guitar. But, again, I've said it 100 times. I love singing along
to
stuff.
This is true.
And that song in particular, it's very, like... a lot of her songs are clever. And so there's a lot of, like... I don't know if you'd call it play on words, but she's like a lot of irony and just cleverness. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Hey, that's me.
Hey, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Which I liked. And the singing was also amazing and
yeah,
gorgeous. And I loved singing along too. So, yeah. What did you think? You kind of said...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think I hadn't really thought about much of Jewel's discography, you know,
yeah.
since the 90s, other than maybe one song we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, I still like that original first single.
Mm-hmm.
That one's still really good. That one holds up.
Yeah.
You know, everything else... I can kind of take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm famously not a folksy fella.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
But she does have a great voice, and
I know
she kind of would ebb and flow between the really belting it out and like that
mm-hmm.
kind of
yodeling,
but then on the other side of the pendulum is the breathy baby.
Yeah,
because she was. Like 2021 recording these.
Yeah. Which, real quick, let's talk about that. Okay. Her and Alanis were 21 in 1974. By the way, they were only like a week apart.
I think they were 21, maybe
Whoops.
In 95.
I meant to say 95. Sorry
okay,
about that.
That's
but they were born in 74.
Wow.
1 week apart. Both Gemini babies singing their hearts out.
Okay.
I was like blown away by this, that they're 21 and that they've written these songs in their teenage years from 16 to 19 years old about like falling in love and not falling in love and
yeah,
hard stuff, like heavy yeah. stuff.
Well, I mean, Jewel is essentially living out of a car,
right?
You know, shopping yeah. these songs around that she had written, yeah, when she was 16, 17 years yeah. old.
But then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Like, how old is the Olivia Rodrigo's and...
12?
And Chapel Roan's and...
14?
See?
Couldn't tell you.
So it's not that wild.
No.
No. But they were...
Well, some of the people, like Alanis and Jewel's songs will stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And other ones probably won't.
Yeah. It's okay.
They Maybe won't. The Chapel might.
They're little.
Yeah. Olivia yeah. Rodrigo, I don't know. Well, I heard Paramore already, so we're okay.
So, all right, back to this album. I just had to yes. touch on that. This might be one of the few albums that we don't just gush about for 33 minutes.
That's okay.
Because...
You can't win them all.
Yeah, listening back to it, even though 3 out of the 4 singles were amazing. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Who Will Save Your Soul, Foolish Games, and Don't Tell Me. The third one.
They're so memorable.
I forget.
Well, you were Meant for Me.
Oh, is that what I said?
Is that what you're thinking of?
That is what I'm thinking of. Okay, you did it. Yeah. We did it. All right, that was a good show. Thanks for listening. Anyway.
Yep, this is the end of the pod.
And then apparently Morning Song was also considered a single, but I don't remember it.
Same.
Anyway.
Well, it was years later, too.
Yeah. So those 3 very popular singles are very amazing, iconic, stand the test of time. Otherwise?
I was, okay, I was shocked. Well, some of it we'll talk about later. I was shocked many times listening to this.
Yeah.
One, I had never heard it front to back before, the album,
okay.
that is.
Okay.
I didn't know that several of them were recorded... live?
I know.
And have applause at the end of some songs, but not other songs?
I know.
And I didn't know that 2 of the 4 singles, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking Grammy-nominated tracks.
Yep.
Were on the record as different versions and then re-recorded for the release as a single.
And then, what year was that?
I think it was in 1997,
oh,
which was arguably the greatest year in music history.
Interesting.
As proven by 21 episodes of last season.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So I had heard this album in its entirety back a long time ago, but I forgot the things like applause at the, like, we're listening to a coffee house.
Yeah, I wanted, snaps would have been funnier, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah,
I didn't think, I guess I never thought about it.
Yeah.
So it didn't hit me until I listened to it, just how folksy, and some of the songs are straight up, and not in a bad way, country songs.
Mm-hmm. True.
Or at least, like, some of the original versions that are on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely You Were Meant for Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the original is essentially a country song, and then she re-recorded it for the re-release
yeah.
in 97, of right. course. And that's like the version we all kind of know and love that got radio play, that got the video or whatever.
Exactly.
But the original one, it's kind of just like
a country song,
her and guitar, and it's a,
yeah.
solid 95 country song.
Yep.
Same thing with some of the other ones, too. It was really interesting.
I know.
Hearing it.
Yeah, I remember when, or this past week when I was listening, revisiting the whole thing, thinking, wait, even the hits, I was like, this isn't what it is. Wait, this isn't what it sounds
right.
like. I was thinking of the radio edit of the re-record.
Same,
in my head.
Because that's the only version I'd ever really heard was probably the video, which I think the videos were for Foolish Games and You Were Meant for Me were the recording that's part of the video is the re-recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, so with all that being said, does it rule? Does it still rule?
Well, I, you know, what are you going to do?
Did it rule?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to answer that one.
The three did. The three singles ruled, and they still do.
Yeah. Those three are timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rest of it, I mean, so, okay. We have to talk about the title track.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way. It's the second song on the album.
Yeah.
It's another one with clapping.
Do we have to?
Now, we're not going to go into specifics.
No.
But.
Not so timeless.
There are some shockingly. What's aged the worst, to borrow a phrase from the Rewatchables, lyrics.
I see what she's trying to do. Like, I get the. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's called Pieces of You. She's trying to say you are all of the things that you also hate.
Right.
So you spew this hate, you know, universal you, not.
Yes, the royal you.
The royal you, not you.
Yeah.
Or you listening. But everyone spews hate about certain things, about certain groups, about the things in which they hate. And yet that's part of them. That's a piece of them as well. Like,
right. Well, pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
Piece of them, pieces of you. But so, she takes some hard left turns,
and then
a hard right turn, and then another hard left turn. And she zigs when you think she's going to zag.
Yeah.
And then keep saying certain words over and over again. We won't reveal on this show.
Or repeat.
But it was shocking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then people were clapping at the end. And I'm like, excuse me.
Repetitive.
It's the harmony.
After the fifth time, we were like, that's enough, Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next verse comes in and you're like,
you're
going to talk about that group now. Great.
Oh, yep. Yep. But, yeah. Okay. So moving on. Do you have a favorite song out of it, or a guitar part or lyric?
So as far as the instrumentation or whatever on Who Will Save Your Soul, I love the little bass line drum bit. And I was really sad that most of the other songs on the record don't have some or any instrumentation other than just like her and guitar or her and piano or whatever.
Yeah.
So I love those little like bass fills with the drums and everything.
Yeah.
But out of the non-singles,
okay.
There's a song called Adrian. I liked that one. It, for some reason, I was getting like Elliot Smith vibes.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who was also putting out records in 95.
95, yeah. No spoilers.
And there's like a lullaby quality. It's just like her and an acoustic guitar. And I don't know. I really like that one for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah. I think Foolish Games might be my favorite.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I love the other two singles. And then I kind of liked Near You Always a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the non-three singles.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because the singles, like we mentioned, you know, they're different than the ones on the record. So when you're listening to the record start to finish,
right,
Foolish Games comes on, or You Were Meant For Me comes on, and it's different. I mean, it's literally different.
I know.
Isn't so it's jarring.
Incredible?
And you're like, since it's so not what you're used to, it kind of just feels like, oh, is this like a demo version? Like, what's going on?
Right.
So it kind of took me out of it listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was another weird thing I didn't think would happen listening to Jewel's first album.
Yeah. Agreed. Never saw Jewel live.
Never saw her live.
No.
No, I did back in my TV days. She was a guest on one of the shows, and I heard she was nice to work with.
Oh, nice.
So that's always something I love to hear.
I will say this because I've followed her on Instagram for a long time. I think she's really cool. I think she's badass. Like, what can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think she's very humble and like down to earth to the nth degree. And I don't know her personally, but I think she's, I don't.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I must have gotten the wrong notes. The show she was on was like an interview show, and like, yeah, I think humble's a really good way to put it. She didn't seem like she was this 12 million record selling,
right,
Grammy nominated, VMA winning, CMA nominated. Like, she didn't, she just seemed like a normal person just there to have like an hour long chat.
Yeah. And she also seems very unjaded.
Yeah.
There's not even guards up. Like, she's not protective even. Or maybe she is, but she doesn't come off as like, well, I can't say this and I shouldn't say that because what if they misconstrue it? Mm-hmm. How some celebrities probably are protective like that.
Especially because she's been super famous for literally now 30 years, which we should mention.
Oh, yeah.
This week is the 30th anniversary.
Yes. So cool. Happy birthday.
Yes.
If
that's something you participate in.
Celebrate.
Hopefully Jewel's listening to this. I know she'll hear it, but hopefully she hears it during this first week of this episode releasing.
Yeah.
You know, we record in advance, but when the episode comes out,
yeah,
it'll be right around that 30th.
I know.
To the day.
Too cool. Well, yeah. Anyway, long story short, she seems very cool, very down to earth, and very approachable.
Yeah.
Almost. And I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's just so cool to see someone still
human.
You know, yeah, after a 30-year
career.
Career.
I know.
Agreed. That's still going.
She's so cool. Okay, anyway.
We should talk about the videos.
Yeah. Let's do
Iconic.
It. Iconic.
Iconic.
Well, real quick, first things first, I was shook when we watched them together because I forgot, like, I kind of remembered what Who Will Save Your Soul looked like, and that was etched in my memory.
Same.
The other two, I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen those. Nope. It all came flooding back.
Yes.
And I was like, I've seen these. I've loved these. They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so the first one, Who Will Save Your Soul.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, gross. You're sitting down in a public restroom. They filmed it in a real women's restroom.
No.
Somewhere in LA.
No.
In 95. What could be... I guess the only thing more disgusting is a public restroom in New York in 95.
Yeah.
But
oof.
She's sitting on the floor and sometimes not wearing shoes. And like, I can't even imagine.
Jewel.
Can't even imagine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Who will get a tetanus shot? I was thinking.
Yeah. But it's still very 95.
Yes.
Intercuts
from black and white to color to black and white to color.
Yeah. Close-ups to her face, which is a through line, whether it's Sarah McLachlan, whether it's Alanis.
Of course.
Just, you know.
Well, I mean, this is pre-social media, so MTV, you got now on our devices, you have, you know, less than a second to grab your attention. But back then,
yeah,
I'm sure it was closer to 10 to 15 seconds. So if you're not showing something eye-catching in the first bit, people are gonna go to the next channel.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what was the next one we watched? You Were Meant for Me. That was very abstract, interpretive dance.
It was giving high school play.
Yeah,
it was like, what is happening? It's like, we're gonna cut to some shoes that are on a floor.
Yeah.
She's sitting on the floor again, then she's...
It means something. We don't know.
Yeah.
She knows.
At one point, she's singing, and then another hand just, like, touches her face. And it's, like, some dude, and he's under a cover somewhere.
And I'm like, hello, COVID.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Now, this one and Foolish Games, these were definitely as part of the re-release. Again, like we mentioned earlier, the re-recording.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can... I feel like you can see a visual difference between someone who's 2021 to now who's like 23.
Yeah, agreed. And even quality-wise or production-wise, you can almost tell a difference too. Yeah. Not because the first one was in the bathroom, but just the quality, literal.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine she had a much bigger budget. Mm-hmm. You know, those were Grammy-nominated songs.
Yeah.
VMA-nominated. Actually, one of them won.
Oh, really?
The You Were Meant For Me. She won Best Female Video.
Oh, now,
okay. But this was in 97.
See? Because
that re-release we keep talking about.
Yeah. So did you know, you probably did because you also did research, when it came out in 95, the second greatest year in music history, it almost failed. There was nobody picked it up. Nobody listened. And then Bob Dylan was like, come on tour with me and be the opening act.
Yes.
And that is when it picked up steam.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I read also that there was a bidding war between the labels.
Oh.
Because she was getting like sort of popular, but only locally in California, because she would play on the street. She would play in coffee shops, play in bars, living out of her car for kind of during that. You know, not really touring, but you could kind of say just going from town to town playing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Imagine you're trying to get a latte and someone, not just like, oh my gosh, Jewel's there, but more like, we've all been in a coffee shop where there's just the worst person in the world playing.
Open mic night.
Yes.
I know.
Imagine being in a coffee shop, you're trying to order a big latte and someone of this caliber is like,
no,
just next to the couch belting out Who Will Save Your Soul. What a time.
Yeah.
We don't have that now.
No. Dang.
I think the only time you have that now is if you're in like Nashville.
Right.
And you go to a local haunt.
Right.
And someone's up there, and then all of a sudden they're like famous.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that can kind of still happen, but what a time.
I know. Yeah. Quick cue, was Foolish Games on a soundtrack? I feel like it was, right?
Yes, it was on the Batman and Robin soundtrack.
Okay, yeah.
In 97.
Wow. Did it play during the credits? When did it play in the movie?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Maybe it was during the part where Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze tells him to cool off.
Oh, okay.
Because his name is Mr. Freeze.
Mm.
So he says, cool off.
Could be.
And then Jewel kicks in. No, the Foolish Games video, that was so 90s.
That was very Shania-esque.
Well, there's horses. There's sheer garments. There's a flower crown.
It's not really black and white, but it is. It's more like this blue
It's very tint. Monochromatic.
Yeah.
Which 95, 97, I mean, that was starting to hit. You'd see it in some movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Fincher loves green.
Okay.
Or you look at, I mean, his movie Seven came out in 95. It's very, like, monochromatic.
Right.
That green, but greenish-bluish stuff, you know, he was already doing that back then.
Yeah.
But it was good, though. Yeah, she's on a horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. It feels very classic.
Yeah, and still holds up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the re-recordings, we didn't really talk about it, or maybe we kind of did. Not only were they re-recorded, the re-recordings are so much better.
I know. And one of them, I should have...
Production value, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I should have written it down, but I didn't. There's literally an added line or two. I think it's...
Sure.
Was Foolish Games one of the re-recordings?
Yeah.
I think it's that one. There's an extra line. It's so much slower on the 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's more stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
Less instruments. Less, doesn't sound like as full.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell on the newer ones, they definitely, there's more harmonies. There's more backing vocals. I mean, it's all her, of course, but you know. Just has a lot more oomph to it.
Yeah.
So it makes it have that classic operatic.
Yeah.
You know, Foolish Games is very, very operatic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then the video shows that too, again.
Yeah. True.
Which is awesome.
Love it. Is this their best album?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
Did you listen to...
I've never heard another Jewel song.
13 full studio albums, 20-something EPs, I think.
That's out of control.
A lot of music out there.
Yeah.
From Jewel.
Which is great. Hey, good for you.
I know. That's her role in this world, I think. Her gift.
Well, should we talk about... I just lied. I just said I haven't heard any of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a song we've heard many, many, many times that was not on this album.
What?
I think you know it. It was part of a family band. And I think...
Should I tell my story?
I think you should tell your... Because your story about it is great.
Okay. You're talking about the theme song, right?
Of course.
Okay. So, all right. I can't wait to tell this story. I've been dying to. So years ago, I was obsessed with TV shows, specifically on the Discovery Channel, about Alaska. Whether it was Bering Sea Gold, Deadliest Catch, Alaska, The Last Frontier.
Right, you're just naming them. She's not even looking at her notes.
No, because I don't need to.
Okay.
I miss those shows. I stopped watching them, but I know in my heart I love them.
Sure.
Well, I was really into this Alaska, The Last Frontier show.
Yeah.
Which is all about...
And this was what, like 10, 12?
Yeah.
Plus years ago?
Yes. I remember we would watch a few together. It follows a family near Homer, Alaska. Mm-hmm. And the family has been living off of their own land since the 50s, 1950s. And it just follows like their daily life, like sustainably living off of their land and like, preserving food and hunting and,
yeah,
you know,
cause they got the land as part of that homesteader agreement. Mm-hmm. Like once they finalized like the, whatever, Alaska acquisition.
Yep.
And it became a state. It was like, listen, if you can go out there and you want to live there, cool. It's yours. Cause we're not going to like go and clear trees and like form cities.
Right. Right. And so we had already watched a few dozen, a few episodes, a few seasons. Yeah. And, I remember one time thinking while the theme song was on, it's a guy and a girl's voice singing.
Well, don't forget the eagle cry.
And there's an eagle cry.
At least twice.
It's dope. And all of a sudden, I remember being like, the girl's voice sounds really familiar. Mm-hmm. I think it's Jewel. And you were like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm going to look this up. I'm pretty sure it's Jewel. So I Google it. It is Jewel.
It is indeed.
And the guy voice is her dad,
the father,
who is in the show because it's following a family, which is her family,
her actual, her literal name, family.
Her name is Jewel Kilcher, and the entire show is about the Kilcher family.
Yes.
Well, I didn't realize what her last name was or that there was any relation whatsoever for a long time. Like,
of course.
Yeah. But I found this really funny story while I discovered this fact that she had like called home before they started airing the shows. They had only just started filming the shows, and she had called home and she was talking to her uncle, Otto Kilcher.
Right. Cause the show follows her dad and
uncle and cousins and siblings,
and stepmom and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, you know, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And he's like, oh, I forgot to tell you, we signed a contract for a TV, but he didn't say like a TV show in which we will be filmed. And so she was like, oh my gosh, Uncle Otto, you don't need to sign a contract for a TV. You just go buy it. What do you mean you signed a contract? Who's trying to scam you? And he's like, no one's trying to scam us. No, I mean, we signed a contract with Discovery. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, we signed a contract with the Discovery Channel and they're going to come out here with their camera crews and everything. And they're going to film us just like taking care of the land and the livestock and the everything. And your dad and your brother. And she's like, what? And at this point, she's like angry. And she thinks that Discovery Channel is trying to exploit her family as a, we're going to get Jewel.
Or is just like a gimmicky show.
Yeah.
Because right, because back then, I mean, now I don't know because we don't really follow reality shows as we did. But back then there were so many hacky, gimmicky, awful.
Yeah.
Taking it, like literally just taking advantage of people.
Right. And that's what she thought this was, that they knew of the relation. And right. that she was like, she was just upset. Like, they're trying to scam you.
Yeah.
So she gets off the phone with him and decides to get a hold of Discovery somehow. And she does. And they're like, wait, who? Who is this? And she's like, it's Jewel. And they're like, Jewel, why are you calling us?
They're like, oh, great, big fan. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. And they
do
didn't.
Do you want a show? What do you want here?
Right. They didn't even know that there was a relation until she called them.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you trying to do this to my family? What's your intentions with my family? And they were like, wait, who? What? What's
like
going
the
on?
The Homestead people or your family? She's like, it's my dad.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember when I found all of this out while we were watching it.
Yeah.
And I was just like freaking out.
Well, and then there was YouTube footage of her and her dad performing the theme song live.
Yes.
In like a bar somewhere because she just happened to like,
yeah,
I don't know, go home for the holidays or something. It was not like a, I'm playing a huge show, I'm going to bring out my dad.
Right.
I think later they kind of did something like that.
Yeah, they did.
But the first like kind of viral video or whatever you want to call it, it was definitely them at just like a tiny little nothing.
Yeah.
And she was telling the story and then they play the song and yeah, it's like a song she wrote with her dad. And
yeah. So, and then the back story is that she's been singing either in churches in,
just busking like on the street.
Yeah. Or bars or schools or coffee shops in Homer, Alaska since she was 5.
Yeah. And like the yodeling. And
the yodeling comes from Switzerland. Her father taught her how to yodel. So he also knows how to. And he's very good. He's a good singer.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that's where it comes from. Because they're from Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah, that was right. The grandfather
came over from, and born in Switzerland.
You could get the land that way.
Settled in Alaska. Yeah.
Yeah.
He, come to find out from the internet, he was in the Alaskan Senate. He was a member of the Senate for the state of Alaska.
Do you think he could see Russia from his house?
Yul Kilcher.
Yul.
That's his name.
It's fantastic.
I know. Too cool. But, whoa, okay. Sorry, went off on a major tangent.
That's okay. We're actually recording from the homestead.
I would love to visit Alaska someday.
In the summer.
Yeah, and I don't know about Homer. I can't remember where Homer is in Alaska and in relation to Anchorage.
Right.
But I will
Juneau.
But I will find out.
Yeah. We'll get there one day.
Yeah. But yeah.
Any other final thoughts? I mean, go watch Alaska the Last Frontier.
Go listen to Pieces of You.
Yeah. Listen to this pod first.
Yeah.
Then the reality show, then the record.
Yeah.
Then the re-release or the anniversary edition has the bonus songs on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Rating, what would you?
Well, I mean, pretty low.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Because, you know, I go by the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So when there's two or three I like and the rest I don't, that's going to be a low rating. So out of 95.
Yeah.
Is it bad to say like a 40?
Oh, dang. No, it's fine.
It's just not for me.
Okay.
The pieces are not for... They're for you. They're not for me.
Later, I think she had an album, or maybe it was a book. No, I think it was an album called Picking Up the Pieces.
Wow. A retrospective.
Wow.
On the life and times of Jewel.
It's so good. I think I'd give it like a 65 out of 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that, that'll do it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure to follow us on social. Search at Greatest Music Pod, all on your favorite social platforms.
Yeah, and tell us which song is your favorite, if we're completely out of touch and one of the other ones is your favorite. We'd love to hear from you. And give us a follow and a rating. I dare you. Do it.
Okay.
Double dog dare you to give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Pocket Casts.
And stay tuned for next week, where we'll be covering Deluxe by Better Than Ezra.
Yeah, this better be good.
See what I don't get it.
You see what I did?
Okay, I don't get it, but we'll see you next week.